Hey guys!
Welcome back to Faith on Fleek. It's Cadence Melville, your host.
And Cooper McFessel. And we're back.
And today we have a special guest.
Hi guys, I'm Presley Leonard. And I'm so excited to be here.
We're so excited to have Presley with us.
Yes, we are.
Yay! Presley is another student in the youth group here at The Ridge. You're 16?
Yes, ma'am.
So she's 16. And I realized, Cadence told me the other day, after I uploaded all the stuff to our like YouTube channel and everything, I put 16-year-old, and she's not. She's 15. But she's close enough, right?
Next month.
Yeah, next month. She'll be 16. So I decided not to change it because then I just have to go back and change it again. Yeah. So, you know, she's 15. But Presley's here with us tonight. And hey, we're so excited for her to be here.
I'm super excited to be here.
And you
today's topic is relationships with God. So today we're basically just going to be talking about our personal relationships with God and like how to grow a relationship with him if you're wanting to do that and just stuff like that in general.
Yeah. You want to go first? Do you want me to go first?
I think we should let Presley go first because she's our guest.
Okay. Okay. So my relationship with God, I've grown up in church my whole life. I used to live in Florida, so I went to a church there, and I basically grew up there, like, from when I was, like a little girl till before I moved here. But I've grown up in church. I was raised in church. I was saved when I was little, baptized when I was, like, 10. But I guess I, like, never truly, like, understood what a relationship with God was until I really, like, I guess moved here and, like, came to a church that I really got to grow in, like, a lot. But before that, when I first moved here, it was kind of just like really difficult. And there was a lot of things that happened to me and a lot of events and situations that kind of were negative and had a negative impact on my life that kind of just like tore me down. And I wasn't in a church yet because we had just moved here. So we were kind of just like looking around and I wasn't plugged in anywhere and I had like no like source of guidance, I guess.
So this was when you first moved to Arkansas.
Yes.
And you were in eighth grade?
Yes.
Seventh grade? You were in eighth grade?
I was in eighth grade.
Okay.
So it was the beginning of my eighth grade year and I had started my new school cause I go to Cabot. I go to Cabot High School now, but I started Cabot Junior High North and it was a very different experience for me because I grew up in a really tiny like Christian school that had a total of 200 people there. So it was like a really small school. And so it was like, it was really new for me. So I was really nervous. So I didn't have any friends and I had like finally got my little group, my little clique of girls and stuff. And we had, I've been like, I really just started connecting to everybody there. And stuff didn't go as planned, I guess, how I wanted like everything to go when I first moved here. And I don't want to call it drama, but a lot of situations came up and, it affected me tremendously to the point where I was just alone at school and I would sit alone in the bathrooms, during lunch and in the morning waiting for the bell to ring. And I got into this state where I was just really alone and I had literally nobody. Like I felt like I didn't have my parents and I didn't have anything. So my mom just took me to the doctors because she thought something was wrong with me. And I just had news that day that wasn't the best. This might seem like a lot, just like, I know it's kind of dark, but I was clinically diagnosed with depression and anxiety. And I don't talk about that a lot because I don't ever like to talk about it because it was a really hard time for me. But in November of 2021, whenever I first moved here, that was like the like worst time for me. Because I didn't have friends, I wasn't connected to a church, I didn't have a relationship with God anymore. I was completely away, I was with the world, and I was really like severely depressed, and that took a toll on me like a lot. I was just in my room all the time. Thanksgiving break was the worst for me because I was by myself in my room all the time. And I just kind of was distancing myself and just felt like I didn't have anybody. And it slowly started to get better at the end of my eighth grade year. And I think it was the end of my eighth grade year or like the beginning of my ninth grade year when I started coming here to the Ridge. And I wasn't like, you know, I was kind of hesitant at first, but I think that I started like getting used to it and new people. And I started forming godly relationships with people, and some of my best friends are here now.
I remember when y'all first started coming, because I hadn't officially started coming here yet, but I was like around because I was friends with people that went here. And I remember when y'all first came here, and I remember them telling me there's this new family with three teenagers that like just moved here from Florida, and like the kids kind of don't really want to be here. But, like, their parents are wanting to try to get them to try it out. So like, they don't want to come tonight. Like, it was like a youth thing. They're like, they really don't want to come. Like, they're kind of like unsure about it. But they're going to be here. So like, they were like, let's make sure that we're like really nice to them and like, you know, try to make them feel welcome. I remember that, but it seems like it's so long ago.
I know. It feels like I've been going here for years and years and years, but I remember that night because everyone was just so welcoming. Kirsten was the first person that talked to me. Aww. So yeah. And now we're best friends for the resties. We're besties for the resties. but yeah, I came here that night and it was kind of hard for me because I just didn't know how people would think about me or like what they would say or anything. I don't really know, but
it's hard. It's hard going and meeting a new group of people,
especially because I had already done that with my school and that didn't really go as planned as, and it went kind of really bad. So I was kind of nervous with that, but I mean, it turned out for the better. But the beginning of my ninth grade year, I was, like finally actually like adjusted to the Ridge, and I loved coming here and I just loved being in the presence of God and getting to see some of my best friends and just, I guess, just being here. And in the middle of my, like the beginning but middle of my ninth grade year, I didn't want to go back to the point where I had no friends. So I would sit with this friend group that was not benefiting me. They loved me, but they just weren't living how I knew I wanted to live and how I was supposed to live. But because of past experiences, I just was like, I can't do this again. Like I have to do what they do, fit in.
You had to do whatever it took to have a group.
Yes. Because I just didn't want to have to go through that all over again. And it got to the point where I was going to church constantly and consistently, but I wasn't like living how I should have. I was living a double life and I was acting one way at church and then I was acting another way at school and just living for the world completely, but making it look like I was living for the Lord entirely as well. So it just affected like who I was as a person. But I still like consistently came to church. I wasn't in my word as much and stuff like that, but I just thought that that was okay because I consistently came to church and I was doing what I thought I was supposed to do. But end of my ninth grade year, I was still hanging out with those people, but I had started to like push myself away from them and try to find people that were going to benefit me for the better. Mm-hmm. So beginning of my sophomore year, I was kind of still hanging out with those people, but I had friends and like a friend group that was like, I had like friends in, but I wasn't really a part of the friend group yet. But at the beginning of my sophomore year, I was hanging out with one of my old best friends and we hung out like every single day and stuff with that, like stuff didn't go well with that either. And we're just not friends anymore, but, she was not a great person to me. And I realized that at the beginning of my sophomore year. So I kind of like, I didn't drop her, but she kind of like distanced herself from me and I distanced myself from her. So we kind of just fizzed out, nothing negative. But I was going to get to that point again where I wouldn't have anyone to hang out with at lunch. So I had choir before lunch. So I was like talking to girls in my choir. I was like, hey, can I sit with y'all for lunch? And they were like, yeah, of course, we love you. I was like, okay, great. So I just started sitting with them constantly and they were like, oh my gosh, Presley. Like girls that sat there that know I was going to be, they were like, oh my gosh, it's Presley. Oh my gosh. Like, yes, come sit with us. I was like, okay. So now those are like my best friends in my close inner circle. And everything worked out with that. And my sophomore year, I really started. What am I looking for? I really started like finding who I was as a person and what God wanted to use me for and wanted to do with me. there obviously are things that I could have improved on my part with like my relationship with God that I hadn't done yet. But for where I was like, okay, I'm starting to figure out what I'm doing with my life, and you know, I'm growing my relationship with God, and it's a lot better than what it ever has been. And so end of my sophomore year was great. And then the beginning of my junior year during the summer, like I've just been on like a high since then, I guess you can say. I've been in my word constantly. I take notes to help me stay. Like I journal, I go on Pinterest and I have like a Pinterest board where I keep all my notes at. And I don't copy like word for word, but if I really like what it's talking about, I'll like read into it, look at all the verses that they put down, just like really analyze what they were mm-hmm. writing, and then write it in my own way. And make it all look cute and stuff with my little markers. And like, yes. I don't know, I just love doing it. And it, so I'm just like, I'm constantly in my word now. I'm constantly journaling, and, I've improved just my relationship with God since moving here until now. And, I've improved it every year, like eighth grade year, it like started getting there, and then 9th grade and 10th grade, like everything, it just like kind of just built up and connected in a way. And now I'm just like, I feel like I'm more connected than I've ever been. And I feel like I have so much like more to do, but I feel like I actually know where I am right now and where the Lord wants me to be. And basically like, I feel like I'm more knowledgeable of like what I'm doing with my life because my relationship with God is so strong right now. And I'm confident with that because it's just very noticeable in my opinion.
Yeah.
And I've just taken those steps. I've taken my personal steps to further that because I knew it would be better for me, but not just that it would like, I don't know. It was just, I knew I needed to do it. So mm-hmm. I just did the things that had to be done to get there.
Yeah. I definitely can see like the progression that's happened in you since like when I first knew you.
Yeah.
Because I've known you ever since you got here. And I can see the difference in you, I think, is like you still go through hard things. Mm-hmm. Like you still have to, those things like in eighth grade, you deal with those things with friends and relationships, and that's so difficult. And like you still have to face a lot of those same kind of things. And like you yeah. said, you've got like that group of friends now who like are there for you and who are consistent, but still even in your relationships with other people, like sometimes they're just a little bit volatile. Like yes. it just goes up and down and things like that change. But I think what's been such a difference in you now is even when those things are really hard and the things that you have to go through in high school, I mean, those years are just brutal sometimes.
Yeah, they are.
But I think now you're still on a journey. Like we all are. We're all still growing till we die. You know, it's like you never are done growing. And so you're still growing. But I've seen how you are getting better at staying consistent in how you see yourself and how you see the Lord. And it's still hard sometimes, and sometimes you may still have those moments of like feeling down or questioning, you know, like things about your faith or like, you know, are these things going to work out? But like you've gotten stronger through those things
yes.
that you had to deal with. So now like your response when those things happen is to go to the Lord and to talk to Him about it. And it doesn't always make those situations change, but now you know like the answer mm-hmm. and you lean on Him for those things.
Yes.
You know, and I think that's really important, I think, for people who are listening to understand, especially who might be in that same position as you, that like your relationship with God is the thing that you can always come back to. Like mm-hmm. that's the thing that you can always lean on and trust in, even when things get hard. Your relationship with God doesn't always change your circumstances, mm-hmm. But it changes what's inside of you through those circumstances. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think I see so much of in you, because I see you getting stronger. Like, things are so hard, and you, like, we've talked even recently, like, you get busy and have so much going on. It feels like the weight of the world's on your shoulders, you know, but, and even sometimes when you feel like you're not handling everything like as amazingly as you'd want to, like I can see how much different you are now than you used to be.
Yeah.
Like, and I think that's so important for people to understand, like, you have to look back and see like where you've come from. Cause like, even when life is still hard sometimes, like, but how much more I can handle and how much better I can get through things now than I could years ago. Like, that's really powerful. And I definitely think that that's something that you have grown in. It's just like, you keep going. You know what I mean? Like,
I try my hardest. Sometimes it's really difficult, but I mean, the most that I can do is just make sure I'm consistent in my word and like not fall away from that, because it's proven that when you do that, it kind of just in your own like life and in your own mind, it kind of creates chaos because you don't know what you're doing with yourself. And like, you don't have like the one person that you actually need to like power you through your hard times and to make you, I guess, kind of put together. I mean, you can be put together on your own, but not how you should be when you're with the Lord and you actually have a relationship with him, which I've experienced that personally.
Yeah.
So I try my best, especially because of what I've gone through, to make sure that I'm just still consistently in my word, even though it sometimes I don't like, well, I'm like, I'm tired. I don't have time. I want to go to bed. I don't want to stay up. Like, you know, I have a long day tomorrow, blah, blah, blah. Like, even with that, like, sometimes you just have to be like, well, if I don't do this, then it's probably not going to benefit me. Like, if I don't get like one more extra hour of sleep. So, I don't know. I guess it's just how I view it. I mean, personal experience, but I mean,
like, I love what you said. It's like, I just did the things that it took for me to get where I want to be.
Yeah.
Like, that is something that I think even God has dealt with me so much recently, that exact thing. It's like, you can't always wait till you feel like it.
Yeah.
You can't always wait till it gets easy, because it probably won't ever be easy. There's always going to be days you don't wake up feeling like you want to be doing all the right things, and sometimes you don't do all the right things, but like, you sometimes don't want to get up and read the Bible. Like, you just don't want to, but doing them anyway, that's what makes the difference.
Yeah.
It's like, I've always thought of this example of like people who work out and they never will get stronger. They will never like get more muscles or be more fit as long as they only work out until like they start hurting or they start getting uncomfortable or they start getting tired and then they stop.
Yeah.
It's like, if they only do it as long as they want to, as long as it feels good, that's never going to push them to grow. And that's the same thing about like reading the Bible and praying and being with the Lord. And so like, the Lord has encouraged me recently, like in my prayer time, I kind of get to this point where I'm like, okay, I've been praying. Like, I got some things to do today. Like, I feel good about that. Like, okay, I'm done. But he's questioned me on that a few times recently, even in the past few weeks, and said like, can you just like stay 5 more minutes? Like, just stay with me 5 more minutes and like, see if it doesn't make you feel a little different that you went longer than you felt like it, that you stayed with me a little longer than you felt like it. And I think that's what makes a difference. Like, being consistent and doing it even when it's like, even when it's hard.
Yeah.
Like that is so true. And especially like in your season of life, there's just so many other things that are going on pulling at your attention.
Yes.
That it's so easy to think like, oh, I'll just do it later, or like, I've got so much else going on, like, it's fine, like I'll go to church on Sunday and like, it'll be okay, or I'll pray for a couple minutes like before I fall asleep, like it'll be fine. But like, to actually make that a priority, that's important. And it's hard to do, but it's important. Yeah,
because there's like just like 800 things around you and you're like, well, what if something's more important? But you know, you have to come to the realization that like, nothing's more important than the person who helped you through those things.
That's right.
Because if you don't have that, then I mean, you can't really get through anything. It's just gonna, I mean, you can, but it's gonna be miserable.
Yeah.
personal experience.
Yeah.
you want to have them by your side at all times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I wanted to add something. So like, I feel like a lot of people don't understand that you have to make time for God too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like you can't just, for example, like you only read your Bible on Sunday. You only read your Bible when you have time. Like you also have to make time for God because he makes all the time in the world for you. He's just mm-hmm. there waiting for you. And he's like, I'm right
yes.
here. Like,
yes.
you know what I mean?
Yes. That's like, he can't be the last thing on your yeah. schedule. He can't yeah. like, you can't be like, I'll fit him in when I don't mm-hmm. have other things going on. Yeah. He has to be like, well, no, I'm not doing this because I'm spending time with God right now.
Yes.
Yeah. That's so good. That's so true. Because I feel like even I've been guilty of that in my own life. It's like when I'm done with all my homework and when I'm done dealing with like everything else I got to do, like then if I have a few minutes before I fall asleep, mm-hmm. like I'll pray or I'll read my Bible or something. And that's why now I've started getting up extra early in the morning and making sure I do that. And there's times when I've woken up in the morning and I've been like, I'm so tired, I'll do it later. And I don't do it later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I'm like, because something else always comes up. So to me, my way, and that's not the same probably for everyone, but for me, that's what I have to do. I have to get up extra early. No matter what I'm doing that day, I'll get up an hour earlier mm-hmm. and I will make sure I do it because the days just get so busy and stuff just takes your attention. And and the Lord, you know, he's not like, he understands, you know, sometimes a bunch of things come up and it's like, there's days when I'm like, I'll do it later. And then, you know, or, you know, a morning that I like, I don't know, like I wake up and I've got someone calling me saying, hey, I need you to come over here right now. And it's like, okay, well then I didn't get to spend my time with the Lord. And it's not like he's saying, well, you skipped your time with me this morning, you know, but he's understanding mm-hmm. of our life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But at the same time, we can't abuse that and think like, well, he just always understands. Because mm-hmm. it's like, how would I always think like, that wouldn't fly like with my husband. It couldn't work like that. A marriage couldn't work like that where I'm like, Jared will always understand. He'll always be fine with everything. Like mm-hmm. he'll always be the last priority and just talk to me when I have time for him. That wouldn't work. We couldn't have a successful relationship. It's the same thing with God. So I love that.
Yeah. You said? You have to put in effort too.
Yes.
Exactly or right. your relationship with God won't work.
Yeah. I can't remember the exact verse. Hold on, I'm going to look it up.
Also, Presley, I want to say, like, your story made me emotional.
Oh, really?
And I just want to say I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
I love you.
I love you, too.
Aww.
I don't really talk about that. I don't really talk. There are, like, certain aspects of my life that people don't know about because I don't want people to see, like, what, like, hurt me so much. Mm-hmm. Like in a time where I was just, like, struggling so much. Like, I just don't want people to know that part of me, but sometimes I feel like it's good that people know that part of me mm-hmm. to see like where I've come from and how you can improve yourself. Like
mm-hmm.
it's not the end whenever like a doctor tells you something, or it's not the end whenever you think that you're suffering like in your bedroom by yourself. Like it's not the end of everything. You just have to find the right people and actually like find God. Mm-hmm. Like if you find God, like there will be light at the end of the tunnel.
That's right.
Yeah.
So.
Absolutely. That I found it was James 4:8. It's draw near to God and he will draw near to you.
Mm-hmm.
Like we can't expect it to just be him always doing everything and always coming to us first or always speaking to us without us taking the time to go to him and talk to him. Like there's no relationship that's going to work one-sided.
Yeah.
We have to go to him and mm-hmm. then he will come to us.
Yes.
But yeah, I think that's good.
That's my like one of my favorite verses ever. It's so simple. And I mean, I guess it's like, mm-hmm. it's like a well-known verse, but like, it's such a powerful verse if you really think about
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's just like one of my favorite verses ever. I love it.
Yeah. It's so simple. Like
you can easily understand it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's so powerful at the same time.
Yeah.
Makes such a big difference.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is there anything else you wanted to add or?
No.
Do you want to go next or do you want me to?
I don't know. I guess I can go.
Okay.
So basically, I feel like I don't really have that much to say, but I do at the same time. Cause like I said this last time, like I started my like deep, deep relationship with God mm-hmm. not that long ago, about 7 or 8 months ago now. Mm-hmm. But so like basically it all started in like 2020. So In 2020, I was in sixth grade. Yeah, and I was already struggling with a lot of stuff already. And then my grandma, we found out that she had cancer. So then all this stuff happened, and she had cancer for 4 years, and then she passed away October 4th, 2020. And that put me in a really deep depression, and I had a lot of anxiety. So my mom and my dad put me in therapy, and they made me do all this stuff to try to figure it out. And then in the middle of my therapy, I went to church camp with this church I had never been around before. And it really put me in perspective of things I needed to work on to improve myself. And so I ended up getting saved there. And then after church camp, I ended up falling back into all those deep depression and anxiety and stuff. And I was failing all of my classes. And then so basically for a couple years, I said I was a Christian. I acted like I was a Christian, mm-hmm. but I never really understood what that meant. And I never really lived it out. So fast forward to ninth grade, I was getting better at praying and growing my faith. And in ninth grade, my mom got diagnosed with cancer too, the same kind my grandma had. So that really set me on edge again. And the same memories and the same things started coming back to me. And I started getting depressed again a little bit. And my anxiety came back. I mean, it wasn't as bad as the first time, but it still came back. And I thought, my life was over and all this stuff. And then my friend Kirsten, she went to school with me at that time, and she started talking to me about the Lord and about all this stuff that would help me.
And you weren't going to church anywhere Mm-mm. during that time, right?
No, I okay. wasn't.
So you got saved at church camp, and yes. then you were just trying to have a relationship with God,
but it
pretty much just on your own.
Mm-hmm, right, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
So then Kirsten tried to invite me to church for 6 months straight, and I was denying it every single time. So then this one time she finally invited me again, and I felt the Lord. He was pushing on me. He was you need to go. You need to mm-hmm. go to church with her. So I came to church, and now here we are. Now I'm at the Ridge, and basically it has changed my life completely. It's helped me more than I can explain. There's so many great people here. And the first night I came, I remember I was very scared to come because my anxiety was still really bad at that time. But I was very scared to come. But Kirsten and Presley and Skyla and Cooper and Jared and everybody, they made me feel so welcomed and stuff. And now I've made a lot of friends here at the Ridge. And now I can say that I have a relationship with God, and I'm very glad that I get to say that. But so basically, my relationship with God, I would say it's the best thing that's ever happened to me. I read my Bible almost every single day. I'm still working on that.
Yeah.
Just like Cooper was saying, we have to make time out of our day. But mm-hmm. even if I don't read my personal Bible, I'll read it on my phone.
Yeah.
But I read my Bible a lot, and I've been studying the Word and trying to live it out and live for God and fix my ways, because I used to not have very good ways, but mm-hmm. and God has pulled me out of that depression and anxiety. And obviously I still struggle with some stuff, but that doesn't mean that God isn't good and He's not faithful. And
mm-hmm. that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I said we're work in progress
yeah.
all the time.
We're always yeah. growing with God.
Yeah, that's right. And I mean, you can definitely see, I can definitely see the ways that your relationship with God has changed you so much, and mm-hmm. You've grown so much. One thing about Cadence, I'll say, is it has amazed me at how fast they you have picked up on just understanding the ways of the Lord, and just how it has gotten into your heart. You don't see that very often. People who weren't really involved with that kind of stuff, and then come into church, and it's just it just clicked with you. Mm-hmm. And that's so special. And I thank God for that for you. And I I know there's still, and it's, we've talked, and I know there's probably still, you feel like, especially, a million things you don't know.
Yeah.
And there are. There's a million things I don't know, you know, but, like, there's always more that you can learn, mm-hmm. and you are still very, like, new to a lot of things, but how fast, like, it's just really become, like, so a part of who you are, just yeah. your relationship with God and living for Him and understanding His ways and what it really means to have a relationship with Him. That's mm-hmm. really hard to get people to understand sometimes, is like how to actually have a relationship yeah. with Him, especially if you didn't have that before. A lot of people will come to church and it takes them a long time to understand how to go from being just going to church into mm-hmm. like actually having a relationship with God.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's just, He's been so kind to you and like just revealed so much to you and like allowed you to be able to understand things and like let it take root in your heart and really begin to grow. And I say so fast. I mean, it's been not even a year. So mm-hmm. it really has like been so fast. 7 months. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's really awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely just can see all the ways that you're growing. And like all the things, I'm sure, I'm not going to bring up anything specifically, but there's still a lot of things going on in your life that are difficult,
mm-hmm.
And things that you have to face and hurdles that you have to get over. But I'm sure that it's the same thing for you. Like what I'm saying for Presley
yeah.
is like, situations in your life still are difficult once you have a relationship with God. Mm-hmm. You still go through really hard things, but the difference is how you are through them.
Yeah.
Like, and like same thing for Presley, that I say the same thing for you. Like, I'm sure now when you have to deal with situations that are really hard, like how they were, like, I'll say it like this, the difference that's inside of you now, if you were having to go back in time to those things that caused so much depression and anxiety for mm-hmm. you that sent you into that really dark place, you would handle it so differently now.
Yeah.
And it would still be really hard,
mm-hmm.
but you would have something different inside of you that like allows you to withstand it and maintain like strength and just a confidence through it all, like and trust in the Lord that would, you know, not make it easier, but make you be able to handle it better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's like same thing I'm saying for you, Presley, like those things that you're still in the wonderful world of high school and all the drama that comes along with that, you know, like,
yeah,
but you're different.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say for both of you, this is coming from someone with experience who's already been out of that. I know for a fact that sometimes while you're in it, you don't feel different. Like sometimes I'm sure you get in situations where you're like, man, this is just horrible. It just feels so bad. Or I don't feel like I'm handling this good, but I can tell you both, like knowing you, I know that you're miles and miles ahead of probably where you see yourself in the yeah. moment, you know, like you always have to look back at where you were and how much you've grown and changed since mm-hmm. then. But, is there anything else you wanted to add, or I'll go ahead and
you can do yours.
I'll go ahead and talk about mine. So I'll give kind of a background on my life a little bit. I don't really remember how much I don't really think we went into it that much last time. I grew up, my dad was a missionary. And so he not like overseas. So he did like, he was a thing called Youth Alive with the Assemblies of God in Arkansas. And so he was basically like helping churches and students in like Assemblies of God churches in Arkansas learn how to witness to people in their schools. And so he would travel around to different schools and different churches like all the time doing different events and like trainings with students, teaching them how to share their faith with their friends at school. That was a really long tangent, but that's kind of what he did. And so I grew up in Arkansas. I lived here. He traveled all the time and was always in ministry. And then when I was 11,
he took a job as a pastor, a lead pastor at a church. And he was there until I graduated and got married and then started coming here to the Ridge. And so growing up, I always was in church. I was in a different church almost every single week because we had a home church in North Little Rock in Arkansas that we would go when we weren't traveling. But a lot of times we were at a different church. On Wednesday nights, especially, going different places. On Sunday mornings, occasionally, you know, we'd be out of town at a different church. And so I had experience with a lot of different, like, kinds of churches and styles of worship and types of services and all just all different kinds of stuff. But I always grew up in a household where they were doing ministry. And I always say, I was talking with one of my friends the other day, kind of about how we were singing this song, and it was like, I can't remember what song it was. I think it was Nothing Else. And it was like, take me back to where we started. Mm-hmm. And I was we were talking because she grew up, you know, kind of always living for the Lord and being in a family where that was so normal. And we were like, you know, I don't really have a start that I can remember. Like when I sing Take Me Back to Where It Started, that's like when I was born. Like I don't have a moment in my mind where I met the Lord. Like I've always known him and I've always had some kind of relationship with him. Like there was never a time in my life where that wasn't like very integral in who I was and how I operated in my life. And I've talked about before how I feel like that's so great. And I would hope that like, that would be the case for everybody. Like that's the ideal. Like that's what you'd want, that you would always know who he was, that you'd be, you know, never have a moment in your life where you didn't have that. But at the same time, for me, I grew up with it kind of just being a common thing to me. Mm-hmm. And I don't have a moment that I can look back on and be like, that's when everything changed for me. Or I don't have like a period of time in my life where I can be like, this is who I was before Jesus and this is who I am after. It's always been the same. And so there were times when it was hard for me to appreciate the presence of the Lord and appreciate relationship with him because I didn't know anything without it. And actually just the other day I was praying and the Lord kind of gave me like an example for it that I think like, cause I was just talking to him about that and he kind of explained it. It was like, you're like a kid who like those stereotypical kids who like grew up in a rich family and then they like go and grow up and don't understand like how hard their family worked for the money. And then they like lose it all. Yeah. Like, or like they're like those spoiled rich kids who just like know what it is to have money but don't know how to work for it. Mm-hmm. And they're just used to it. And that's kind of how I think that, and he like, it wasn't in a negative way. It was just kind of like, this is kind of like a good way to explain like how it has been at times for you with the Lord, because there's many times I can look back on and think like, I took it for granted the fact that I always knew that he would be there when I needed him. And I always knew that like my parents were praying for me. And I always knew that my parents were doing the things to raise me in the ways of the Lord. And a lot of times I wasn't very intentional or like making a point of it to grow my own personal relationship with him because I was so used to that just being a part of everything in my life. I didn't have a choice to go to church. I was always at church and I wanted to be there. I never had a feeling of like, oh, I just have to go. Like, I love the Lord. I I had a relationship with him. I loved to worship. I always wanted to be in ministry. But there were times when it was just kind of like, it'll be fine if I don't pray today. Like mm-hmm. my parents prayed for me this morning, yeah. you know, like, and that sounds so bad, or it'll be like, it like, I don't know how else to explain it, but it was kind of like I was spoiled almost like mm-hmm. spiritually. And the Lord really revealed to me, even just like literally just the other day, like I there came a time in my life where I kind of realized that, but just the other day he kind of opened my eyes to see like what had happened. Mm-hmm. Like I'm already past it, but I just got like an understanding of what took place, what shift took place. Right. Was like, you have to understand, when he gave me that example of like that spoiled rich kid, it's like, and you hear those stories of people who grew up with money and then they inherit it all and they just like spoil it. Like they just blow it all. And I was like, Lord, I don't want that to be the case with me. Like, I don't want one day that I grow up and have my own family and I don't pray for them the way my parents prayed for me, because I'm so used to just thinking somebody else will do it for me.
Yeah.
Or I don't want to ever grow up and not have the blessings in my life that I had growing up because I didn't realize how hard my parents were like praying and working to see those things happen. Like he reminded me, realized like that stuff just doesn't happen. Yeah. Someone's praying, someone's spending time with me, someone's like working to see the fruit in your life, and you're living off the benefits of parents who taught you all the right things and prayed for you and did the work to live a holy life and lead you in the ways of the Lord. And now you have to pick up where they left off in yeah. your life. 'Cause I remember the first 3 days that I was back home from my honeymoon, I was so filled with like such a heavy anxiousness that I had never felt before. And it was so weird. And for days, I could not figure out what was going on with me. I was like, this is like the most exciting time of my life. Like I just moved into my house with my husband. Like I'm so excited. Why do I just feel so anxious? And I was praying about that, and I realized the weight of the world had like fallen on me when I realized we are the leaders of our home now. Like, of course my parents are still praying for me. Of course Jared's parents are still praying for them and still, you know, invested spiritually in our lives. Mm-hmm. But it dawned on me, like, you guys are in charge now. You guys are the ones who have to create an atmosphere of like where the presence of the Lord is welcome in your home. Like no one else is going to do that for you. And you grew up in a house where you felt the presence of God. Like you grew up in a home where that was normal, but now you have to make that for your house and you have to live that for your life. And you have to be generous with your finances so that you can be blessed. Not just your parents. You have to be the one who's praying and building a foundation of truth for your life and for your future kids. Like, you have to pray for them now. And I was like, oh my goodness. And the Lord didn't want me to be anxious, yeah. but I didn't realize that that's the weight that I had felt when we first were married. And after he revealed that to me, I was like, okay, I don't need to be anxious about this, but I need to take it as an opportunity that like, I've got to get to work now. Like mm-hmm. I've got to take this seriously.
Yeah.
And so I'll say, going back, when I was about 15, about y'all's age, is when I realized I've got to have a relationship with God on my own.
Yeah.
Like, it's got to become more than just what my parents have taught me. I've got to read the word and know why they tell me that. Mm-hmm. Like, I always knew it's a sin to lie. Like, and I knew that it was in the Ten Commandments, but it's like, what does the Bible say about truth? Mm-hmm. Like, why is that important? Why do your parents tell you not to lie? Like,
right.
Or I always knew that, you know, it was do unto others what you would have done to you. Like, I know that. They tell me that. I lived that. I always did the right thing. Like, I was always a very good, very obedient, like, Christian. I lived for the Lord. But, like, there came a time when I was like, why? Like, why are you doing this? Because yeah. one day
like, you're going to have to come to a point where you have to make the choice. Am I going to keep doing this or not? Mm-hmm. And I had to understand, like, for myself, why? Because that's when I learned to really love the Lord, not just to know about him, but like to really love him, was when I learned why I do the things that I do, not just because my parents taught me to, but because I learned who he was. Mm-hmm. And that's when it went from knowing him and serving him because that's what I'm supposed to do, but to actually loving him. Yeah. And it's like, you can't love somebody that you don't know.
Right.
You know? Right. And so that's when I like came to know him for myself. And that's when I like really loved him. And then it switched from I serve him because that's what I'm supposed to do, but I serve him because I want to.
Yeah.
And even if my parents, who were the reason I served the Lord because they taught me to, even if they ever turned from him, like I was to the point where I would never. Like, and that's the shift that happened in me. Now fast forward to now, that's where I am now. That's gotten deeper. Like I said, the shift that took place when I got married and I moved into my own home and I realized like, this is on me now. Mm-hmm. Like this, and it's not a burden. It's not a heavy burden that the Lord is trying to put on me to like weigh me down or make me feel anxious, but it's an honor. And that's what, when I was praying about that, I realized like, this is an honor that me and Jared as the head of our house, but me as his partner, like we get to build a life on the foundation of the word and of truth and of the Lord. And that's an honor and a responsibility that I take very seriously. But that is kind of where the Lord has brought me recently, to even understanding that more. And now as a youth pastor, understanding that my relationship with him is, crucial to y'all's relationship with him.
Yeah.
And that's not only now I have to pray and do what's right and serve him for myself, to bring blessing into my house and to bring blessing into my life, but also to y'all's. Mm-hmm. Like that's a new way since we weren't youth pastors when we first got married. That started at the beginning of the year. Now that's another level that the Lord has taken me to realize, as the youth pastor, me and Jared have to be everything and more that we want you to be. Mm-hmm. And we have to be doing everything and even more than what we want you to do. And understanding that as far as I go, chances are y'all are not going to go further, because you know, Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're essentially saying by being your leaders, mm-hmm. is do what I do, and I said this on Wednesday, not to think that I am Jesus, that you follow me, and because I'm not perfect. I want my life to lead you to Jesus, not to follow me, to follow me because hopefully I'm living for him. Mm-hmm. And if you follow me, you'll be following him.
Yeah.
And eventually then just following him, and mm-hmm. I'm there for help.
Right.
Yeah.
You know? But I've had to understand recently, like I've got to be really serious and understand that that's super important. Because anything I want you to understand, I have to understand 10 times more. Mm-hmm. And any place that I want you to go, I have to go there first. Mm-hmm. So if I'm going to say it's important to spend time with God every day, I better be doing it every day, you know, yep. If not more than once a day, like taking time, you know what I mean? So that's important. And that's something that I'm really taking seriously right now, and that the Lord has helped me to understand. And that's pretty much what I have to say on that. I don't know how much time we have left, but did you want to go into that, or do you want to save that for another time?
I feel like we could go into it a little
okay.
bit. Because we've kind of talked a lot, but that's okay.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, I hope you guys are listening.
Yeah.
Still listening. Yeah. Still enjoying it.
It's a pretty great podcast, so thank you. Hopefully you guys are still here.
Yeah.
But so the other day, I was sitting in my room listening to worship music, and I was staring at this candle that was burning by my TV, and God gave me a word, and he explained that our faith needs to be like the candle wicks that continuously burn unless they are blown out. So basically, we are the flames of the candle. So, like, you know how the flames move and dance around and, like, go from side to side?
Yeah.
So that's us getting tested and getting messed with by the devil, but our flame will continue to burn. So we are still standing in our faith in God. And that is explaining that no matter how many times our flame gets played with or gets messed with, we have to remain burning. Even through the bad, we have to remain burning. Our faith has to remain strong and connected with the Lord. The next example is whenever a candle gets blown out. For example, it's your birthday party and you're sitting at the end of the table staring at your birthday cake while everyone is singing happy birthday to you. And whenever they're done singing to you, you blow out your candles. In this situation, we are the flames still, and the person that blew out the flame was the world, slash the devil. We cannot let the world tear down and blow out our candle or our flame. The world has so many examples and standards that we are supposed to be or supposed to live up to, but none of those matter to God. Yeah. The world is full of drinking, smoking, lying, lust, temptation, fear, depression, anxiety, sin, and so much more. And God is full of love, kindness, joy, encouragement, friendship, compassion, loyalty, and so many more things too. So picture it like this. There's one big path that 100 people are all walking on at once. And suddenly, they are faced with which way to go. The path that they are on breaks into two paths, and one of those is God, and the other one is the world. So picture it like this. Most people, which is like 70 people, walked through the world path, and others, which was like 30 people, walked through the God path. And imagine you standing in the middle and wondering to yourself, do I want to be like society and be classified as normal? Or do I want to be with God? And do I want to be faithful and remain faithful to God always? And no matter what people say about us, we need to remain faithful no matter what. It's not about what other people say. It's about what God says about you. And do you want to feel loved and have a purpose for your life and go to heaven and feel the excitement and the joy that comes from going down the God path? Or do you want to disobey God and have fun for the rest of your life and not make it into heaven and have to be sent to hell? So most kids, me and Presley's age, are like YOLO.
Like, we all like live all our time. Lives. Y'all,
yes.
Y'all do you. We're going to do ourselves.
Mm-hmm. So they're like, so I'm going to do this and do that. And then later, when I want to, I'm going to come to God and he will forgive me. Yep. But that's not always how it works. So do either of y'all want to explain how that works?
I'll say a verse that came to my mm-hmm. mind while you were reading that is Matthew 7:13-14. It says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. Mm-hmm. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. You're saying, you have two paths.
Yeah.
And most people, especially y'all's age, want to go down the wide, straight path.
Yeah.
Right? I remember a specific time in my life when I was a kid thinking, It was such a complicated thought. I was such an overthinker. But I remember one day I was thinking, I wonder if it's easier to get into heaven and only the really, really bad people go to hell, or if it's easier to go to hell and only the really, really good people go into heaven.
Yeah.
For some reason, that's the way I thought of it when I was really little. Right. And I remember specifically asking that question, thinking which one is it? Is it going one way or the other? And then, and for years, I just kind of had that thought back and forth in my mind. And I'm sure I heard it at church, but it never clicked with me. But then I read this verse and it's wide is the road that leads to destruction and many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life and only a few find it. And that's hard hitting when you think about that. And I don't know if that's that exact answer to my question, because I don't think my question was the correct answer or the correct question to ask. I don't think that was the right question to ask. But when you read this and you realize the truth is, it's much easier,
mm-hmm.
much easier and much more natural to fall into mm-hmm. that path that leads to destruction. It's much harder and much less likely for the majority of people that they're going to choose to have a relationship with God.
Yeah.
And that's something, that's scripture right there that like totally goes with what you're saying. Like, if you're listening, you have to understand that. Like, that's not just our opinions. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, that is the truth. Like, there is many, many, many gods that the world serves. But there's one that actually leads to life.
Yes.
When you think about that, the road is wide. Mm-hmm. There's a million ways that you cannot live for God, but only one way that you can.
Yeah.
And when you talk about, like, there's so many things that the world offers. Like you said, the world is full of all these things, and it, like, mm-hmm. might be fun for a little bit. But the one path that seems so narrow and so, like, I've got to do this and this and this and this and this to, like, stay on the path,
mm-hmm.
like, leads to so much more than what all these other options can give you.
Yeah.
It's like, you have a, I don't know, I have like a image in my mind of like you walk into this like store and there's like full of like all these amazing different like treats. And it's like they all seem so great and so fun. And then, but all of them, if you eat them, they will make you sick.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's like there's one option that you can eat. And it may not look as good. It may not like even taste as good at first. But once you actually have a taste of it, you'll realize this will make me feel better than yeah. any of those other options, yeah. you know? And so it's like having a relationship with God, like, can seem like it takes a lot.
Yeah.
That's what, like, it can seem like so much harder and so much more like, what's the word? It takes so much more out of you than not living for God. Mm-hmm. You know, people who don't live for God don't have to worry about waking up and reading their Bibles.
Yeah.
They don't have to worry about, you know, staying away from sin, which is hard to do. But when you take the steps at first that are a little bit harder,
mm-hmm.
you realize having a relationship with Him gives you so much more than taking the easy road. And like what you said earlier, I did what I had to do to get where I want to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like that's what that is. Mm-hmm. Like you've got to do it. You, like you said about the candle, like you have this fire burning and there's a million, you know, wind blowing from a million different places that yeah. could easily like blow that out, but you've got to protect it.
Mm-hmm.
That's like kind of what I think, like, you've got this birthday cake sitting on the table and all these people around trying to blow it out.
Yeah.
But what do you have to do? You have to
protect it.
Yeah. And then it keeps burning and you keep growing and you keep getting stronger. And sometimes you have to fight off some of those yeah. birthday people who yeah. want to blow out your candles.
Sometimes you have to fight them off.
Yeah. And maybe sometimes they're a little bit stronger than you, but you know, you've got to do what you have to do. Mm-hmm. You have to protect it. You have to keep that relationship with God strong. Yeah.
I have something to say.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess like with people me and Cadence's age, especially like in the time that we're in now, I guess like kids, they just think like what Kane said, they like to YOLO everything.
YOLO, yes.
They like to YOLO everything.
You only live She's once. Doing a little hand signal. The you little, can't see her right now.
Surfs up, like, dude, kind of, yeah. I guess, I don't know, especially because like we live it, like we don't obviously live that way, but like we see it everywhere.
Yeah.
And kids in our school deal with it. And I guess I feel like they have this like idea or this concept in their mind that you only live once and that there's like, there's no benefit like after you pass away. But I mean, in reality, there is one. I mean, I know where I'm going to go when I pass away.
Yeah.
But like, yeah. I guess if people really truly understood and like grasped the idea that there is two places that you can go when you pass away, mm-hmm. I feel like people would start to become a little bit more serious. Like, you know, people grew up with hearing that there's a heaven and a hell, a devil and there's a God, and that, that's always been like just a known thing, but I don't think that people truly like want to understand that or like want to come to terms with the fact that there is a place that we're all going to go one day, mm-hmm. yeah. whether you like it or not. And
you don't only live once.
No, you don't. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You don't only live once. And I feel like, especially like right now, like in the high schools mainly, that people, the teenagers really think that. And so they just like take every advantage that they can get to do yes. every single thing that they want to yes. try. Like, mm-hmm. I want to go drink with my friends. I want to go do this with my boyfriend, with my girlfriend. Uh-huh. I want to go do drugs,
go party.
Everything. I want to go to my parties. I want to do this.
Yeah.
And I just feel like they take every opportunity, but they do the wrong opportunities because mm-hmm. there's so many yes. beneficial opportunities that yes. you can do while you're here on this yes. earth before yes. you go to where you're going to go.
Yes.
And I feel like people take that for granted, and it's absolutely. So evident. And I just kind of sit here and I'm just like, I wish you guys like could just like understand. Mm-hmm. And I know for some people it takes time mm-hmm. and we can help them with that. But I just, sometimes I just wish that people automatically understood that there is like, it's not just one life
yeah.
and you need to know that before something happens, yeah. you know, cause we're not always promised tomorrow, you know?
Yeah. yeah.
And I feel like people also take that for granted
yes.
and it kind of just, I don't know. I just, cause I'm a teenager in this like era, it kind of just, I think about that a lot. And I've mm-hmm. talked to Cooper about it a little bit, but I don't know. I just think about it so much with like my school and other schools and other youth groups and our youth group and just in general, just I'm just like,
yeah,
gotta get that mm-hmm. concept. Like,
yeah,
it's not just one life, and it's not, you're not just gonna like be able to live one way and then expect mm-hmm. everything to be okay at the end right yeah. before you're gone. And
yeah.
you're
you like, always, they always think I've got mm-hmm. time to figure uh-huh. it out.
Right. But like I say, you're not always promised tomorrow. You just, you don't know what could happen. And
yeah.
it's very much taken for granted. And
yeah.
it's very evident. Yes. It's very evident.
Yeah. Yeah. And you may not see the good in following, you may not see the good in following God right now, but like eventually you will. Like
yeah.
once mm-hmm. you start putting your faith in God and living for Him and building a relationship with Him, like you'll see it and you'll yeah. see the ways you change yes. and just the ways you do everything. Like I can even tell like the way I used to act around people and the way I used to treat people, like it's mm-hmm. completely different like yeah. than how I used to be.
You just yeah. need to patience. Like yeah. I feel like people yes. are, they just see like the worst of it and they're just like, it's gonna take like so long, I don't want to waste like 2 months of my life trying to get settled with everything. And yeah. then, you know, I know that there's gonna be easy stuff after it, but like if you don't have patience, then I mean like it's mm-hmm. it's not gonna, you can't really do anything without patience yeah. obviously. But I feel like people just struggle with the patience part of it because
yeah
if you don't have like the patience for it, then
they think when they build a relation, like if they get saved and they try a relationship with God, like immediately just like everything in your whole life is going to
so
change
smooth and easy.
And,
right?
and it's not.
No. Mm-hmm.
And even building a relationship and getting to know God takes time.
Yeah.
Getting to understand His word takes time. Like there's no relationship that you ever get into where you immediately know everything mm-hmm. about that person, or you immediately just feel supernatural with that person. Like
yes.
when yeah. the Lord comes into your heart, it changes you and it's good and it's an amazing feeling. But there are even times and I've known the Lord for 20 years. There are even times where I'm still like, I feel like I pray and pray and pray all day long and I don't hear from Him.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, where are you today, God? Like, and I know He's right there with me, but you know, there's still times when it's like, it's, you have to have that patience. They're like,
yeah.
you're building a lifelong relationship with Him that it's going to keep growing and you're going to keep getting better and you're going to keep understanding more and think you're going to get more mature. But the day you get saved, the next day when someone comes up to you and they're mean to you, that doesn't mean that you're automatically going to just know like how to deal with that situation
right. yeah.
or that's automatically going to go away.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I think is so hard. People have an encounter with God. They have an experience with Him and then they don't understand that, like the world doesn't immediately mm-mm. revolve
yeah.
around you.
Yeah.
Right.
You've got to have an encounter with Him and then build a relationship with Him over time and understand that it does take work. It does take time, but it's so once you do that, it's so good.
Mm-hmm.
And like we've said a million times now, the benefits, the joy and the peace and the strength and the confidence that you have in the Lord far surpasses anything that the world can give you.
Yes.
And there's so many opportunities. Like you said there, Presley, they're taking the wrong opportunities, like thinking that that's what's going to fulfill them the most.
Yeah.
But like I can promise that the times in church when I've stood there and prayed for somebody to be healed or to be filled with the Holy Spirit or something like that, and then it happens, like there is no party I could go to that could make me feel as excited as I feel in that moment.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like when I get to lead somebody to the Lord, like there is nothing that's more fulfilling that gives me more purpose, because I know that it's about something that's more than just that moment.
Yes.
It's about somebody's whole eternity. It's about their life that comes after YOLO, you know? Yeah. Like
it, YOLO. Like it, there YOLOing is with the Lord. YOLO yes. with the Lord. Yeah, that's like, gonna be like my new catchphrase. You better YOLO, but YOLO with the Lord.
Amen.
Period.
Period.
I knew I was gonna say that at some point.
I do agree with you. Sometimes I wish you could just make somebody understand.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But you can't. You can't just like shoot them with the understanding like
arrow.
That's a lot. And if you could just like spew out everything, I feel like it would be so much. It would overwhelm people.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
no. It's okay. They'll experience it.
Yeah.
Yes, they will.
But to take away from this, have like just try having a relationship with God. I said on Wednesday night, or two Wednesday nights ago, I said to the kids during worship, I was like, if you don't believe me, just try it and prove me wrong. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm telling you how good it is to know him and to spend time with him and how much he can change your life. And if you try and really try, I don't mean like pray one time and then say it didn't work. I mean, yeah. If you really spend time with him and try to build a relationship with him and it does not affect your life positively, come tell me and I'll apologize to you. But I know it's not going to happen. So I was like, just try it and try to prove me wrong. But you won't, because I know from experience. So yeah, it's good. Good stuff, guys. Mm-hmm. Anything else y'all want to add?
I want to add something, but it's not to our topic. It's about my mic. We were talking about this like 30 minutes before we started recording this episode, because my mic smells.
Are we actually going to talk about this?
Yes. Okay, so funny. It smells like the bathrooms at Dollar Tree, and I just can't get over it.
So mine,
okay, listen, my mic smells like the shampoo and conditioner that you get at a hotel that smells like dried up leaves and whatever scent they try to make it. It just
dried up.
If you guys could smell this, like it smells.
Now I'm like trying to smell mine.
Like okay, I don't understand. Mine,
so it might.
I don't even know.
These are fresh out of a box. So
yes, guys. I don't understand.
It might be the smell. The where these come from. The
this is what China smells like.
I guess so. I don't know.
Just where did this come from? China? This is what it smells like in China.
Oh my. It smells like hotel shampoo conditioner in the Dollar Tree bathrooms. Welcome to it.
I've been smelling it the entire time. I was just waiting for a chance to say that, guys.
Yeah, I've had like my mouth up the mic the whole time and like this, just like my nose resting on it. I'm like, this smell is agitating my brain. Like, I don't know. Listen, my mouth is like, Nicole had to like push away my mic away from my mouth. So I'm like,
shout out to Nicole. Guys. Y'all don't know Nicole. Yeah, Nicole. She's our producer.
Yes, for this Nicole.
Is that what she's called? Oh, yeah, she's called the producer.
My mouth is
recorder,
still so close to my mic.
We love her.
Our best, our biggest fan.
Yes. She's cheering us on over here.
She's sitting, Nicole sits here. She's like nodding her head, like giving us facial expressions. I'm like, she hypes me up while we're talking. That she's our hype woman. That's what she is.
Yes.
Exactly. But okay.
Basically,
that was important
give me
information.
Like
five more.
Presley's getting
that's
mints.
That's perfect.
But I have. From this, we want you guys to just really try and understand that building a relationship with the Lord is really important. And you might not understand that, like we said, but eventually if you just try and you put in the effort and you put your faith in God, you will understand that it's really, like, it's a really, what's the word for it? Like, important. It's real. Yeah.
It's real.
That's real. Yeah, it's real. Good job, Nicole.
And you will benefit so much from the experience.
Yes. Yeah. Like,
you will benefit so much from the experience. Like, you know, it may seem, like we talked about, it may seem like difficult at first, and you may not be the most patient in the world, but I feel like once you take that 1 month or two to like get connected to a church and spend time in your word and go through hardships and mountains and valleys and all these things, yes. I feel like you'll be like, I'm so grateful that I listened to my one friend or that I really took the opportunity mm-hmm. to know who God is because it's benefiting me so much. And I know where I'm going to end up when yeah. I pass, yes. like when I go, you know?
And I'll add to that. Like you said, get connected with a church, have a group of people who are going to help you, yes. but also don't only rely on that mm-hmm. as your relationship with God. And that's what yeah. I was kind of saying. Like the Lord has really helped me understand. Don't rely on your parents or your friends or even your pastors to be the ones who know God for you. It's not enough. You've got to know him for yourself.
Yes.
And spend time with him outside of church. Don't wait till Wednesday and Sunday to spend time with him.
You'll starve if yes. you only eat on Wednesdays and Sundays.
Amen.
Amen to that.
That's
amen to
one
that.
Of my new little quotes too.
You'll starve if you only eat on Sundays and Wednesdays, guys.
That's true. Right.
Let that stick in your brain. Let that stick in your heart.
But it's fine.
Yes. And remember that. Even when life is bad, that doesn't mean that God isn't good. When life gets you down,
you know what I
you
gotta
have
do?
God. You, mic drop. No,
when life gets you down, you know what I got. You know what you gotta do?
What?
Just keep swimming.
Just keep swimming. Keep swimming with God.
Swim with God in the ocean. Ocean's actually pretty peaceful.
This is a digression. I'm going to say. Swim with God in the ocean.
Amen.
Pop
Amen.
Off. Thank you guys for having me on this.
Of course, we love you.
I'm so glad. I'm so glad.
I will be returning. Y'all don't know when, but I will be.
Period.
And that's on period, boo. But honestly, truthfully, thank you guys. Okay. Thank you for having me on the podcast. I like sharing my experiences. And it made me happy that you guys wanted me to come and share. So thank you.
Yes, yeah.
Thank
and you Presley was going to be on the first one, but she couldn't make it. So she's on
Guys,
this one.
Presley is.
Presley's busy these
Presley's
days.
Presley's busy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you for being on it. We are so
I
glad.
I love y'all.
We love you too.
We our enjoyed hands. All the things you added to our conversation.
Yes.
I'm glad.
And
good insight.
And again, as always, if you have any comments or
recommendations
on things, questions you want to ask us, it would really be amazing if we did like one episode one time that's like just a Q&A. Like if you mm-hmm. guys do comments and we just like answer your questions.
Yeah.
Like that would be a fun episode. We really should just like post like on Instagram or something like a question.
Do y'all have
thing.
Like an Instagram account?
No,
make we one. Don't. But we could post it like on the Ridge Students thing
no,
or
make
something.
An Instagram yeah. account.
I think we really should
cool.
make one.
We should though. We need to make it.
Yes,
and actually I'll tell y'all this. We really want to start like videoing these mm-hmm. and doing like a video. But we thought it would be better like at first to just nail down the voice part mm-hmm. and get ourselves accustomed to that because we're not used to being on recordings.
Yeah.
So we're like, we just need to stick with
Cooper
the voices
is.
First. And then yeah, Cooper has a reaction.
Worship Leader Hub.
Worship Leader Hub. If you guys want
to
shameless plug right now, Worship Leader Hub on YouTube. Me and my brother-in-law, not my husband.
I'm shouting out.
Me and my brother-in-law were friends before I was friends with my husband, and we started this YouTube reaction channel to like worship music, and people always thought we were married. But then especially after I married my husband and had the same last name as him, then everyone really thought we were married.
Yes.
So we always have to make that distinction. It's my brother-in-law, but we react to worship songs.
And it's like
we
the
haven't
best
made a video
YouTube
in a
channel
long time
ever
though.
And they're
yes,
so
I
they're
love
funny
it.
And they're like their
so nice.
Words are very inspiring with the music, and they give mm-hmm. they help you like find really good
yes.
songs. So
I just Thank watched you. The Joshua or wait, what's his name? He sings the prodigal.
Oh,
I cannot think of his name.
I'll be a god in Manhattan.
Josiah Queen.
Yes.
I
yes.
love him.
I just yes. watched
Manhattan
that one.
Is my favorite song.
Garden of Manhattan is the best song. Okay. This is
a really long episode, guys, but we hope we really hope that you took it to
we
heart and we really hope
here.
That you yes. listened and enjoyed it and that you learned something from this. But we hope you guys have a blessed night. Presley wants to say one more thing.
Like, subscribe,
comment, yes.
do whatever you want to do. Woot!
Yay!
Yes.
And don't forget that Jesus loves you.
Amen.
Yeah, and we hope you have a blessed day, night, yes. whenever you're listening to this.
Yes.
And we will talk to you next time.
Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.
Bye.